What is it that gives us this gospel morning? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not human. It is not natural. It cannot be produced by carnal means. It must be the direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon your heart to give you a gospel mourning, a true lamentation in your heart. Look what I've done. Look what my sin has caused. And I look upon the Savior in his suffering, and it deeply affects me. It changes my attitude. There is now a hatred of sin, a holy hatred. There is a repentant attitude to what our sins have done.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak on this first Sunday of the new year. We thank the Lord for another opportunity to bring the message of the gospel. We rejoice that through into a new year, we may continue to let the Bible speak. And I trust that you will be a regular listener this time as we bring the message of the gospel to you. And I pray that there will be a word in season for your own heart. So stay tuned with us today, and I trust that you will be encouraged. Our text is Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and it is those words where the Lord promises, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now, that is a tremendous statement concerning the future, that a people will recognize the power and victory of Jesus' death upon the cross. And of course, it is by looking to the cross work of the Lord Jesus that we are saved. There needs to be that gospel mourning, a recognition that there on that tree, Jesus bore my sin and my iniquity. This is Ian Gollaher, and of course, as always, I look forward to hearing from you. At the end of the program, you'll receive all the announcements, and I hope that you will be in touch and that we will hear that you are encouraged through the ministry of Let the Bible Speak. So open your Bible at Zechariah 12:10 as we turn now to the ministry of our pulpit.
Shall we stand to pray a moment? Our Father, we do indeed need thee. And as we come to this communion table, we need guidance and grace to receive this cup and bread in faith, with an attitude of devotion, with thankfulness, with praise to the one who became for us the Lamb of God to bear away the sins of the world. And we want to sit at the feet of Jesus this morning to learn of thee. And, O Lord, we pray, lead us to Calvary. Lead us to the cross. Lead us to consider what our blessed Redeemer has accomplished for our souls. And as we take the cup and bread today, let us do so with a comprehension and with a deepened awareness of all the benefits and the privileges of trusting and resting in the sacrifice of the cross. And now bless our souls and help us to hear your word and rest in it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. So please open your Bible and let's turn to that little minor prophet, Zechariah. And it is a prophecy. It's a word from a man who was sent to an Old Testament people to comfort them in a very seeming strange way by leading them to mourn. Isn't that odd? That God's remedy for sin and sorrow is to make us to feel the sorrow over sin. And here in Zechariah 12, verse 10, we are told, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now, if ever there was a prophecy directly fulfilled in the death of our Lord Jesus at the cross, here it is. You can't get language more specific. Sometime you have Old Testament prophecies and they're obscure. It's like looking through a glass, a dark glass. And it's could be interpreted various ways. But this one is unmistakable, because this is exactly what happened to our Lord Jesus on the cross. And when we go to Matthew 27 and we think of the Lord Jesus on that cross, and how when they examined his body that he was dead, or to ensure that he was dead, the Roman soldier took his spear and they thrust it right under his rib cage, piercing his heart, out of which flowed blood and water. And it was through that sight that many mourned for their sin and came to the realization, what have we done? We have taken this man called Jesus and we have put him to death, and we're guilty of the blood of Jesus on our own hands. And they mourned and lamented. Now, this mourning is the issue that we need to look at today. For every gospel-minded man, woman, or young person, there must be a measure of mourning over what your sin has done. Because, let's face it, if you and I had not sinned, the Lord Jesus would never have been tormented upon that cross. If you and I had maintained the law of God and kept God's law, never transgressing, never a wrong thought or deed, if we were pure and holy beings, we would never need such a Savior. But because we're guilty, and because we've broken the law, and our own sins and iniquities that we have transacted, we have caused Jesus, the Son of God, to suffer on that cruel cross. And when that realization strikes home, by grace, not just academically, but when there is poured out upon you the spirit of grace and supplications. And that's the promise of our text. Did you see it there? I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they will look upon whom they have pierced and mourn. What is it that gives us this gospel mourning? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not human. It is not natural. It cannot be produced by carnal means. It must be the direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon your heart to give you a gospel mourning, a true lamentation in your heart. Look what I've done. Look what my sin has caused. And I look upon the Savior in his suffering, and it deeply affects me. It changes my attitude. There is now a hatred of sin, a holy hatred. There is a repentant attitude to what our sins have done. And we certainly don't wish to be guilty of crucifying the Lord afresh. And this mourning over sin, it will work within us. And I'm going to use the biblical theological term, because this is so vital to the Christian life. This mourning that is referred to here as a result of looking upon a suffering Savior, it will work mortification in you. Now, mortification as just the word speaks itself, means to put to death. For someone who is mortified, you've got the fear, you think you're going to die. Mortification means putting to death the attitude of loving sin. Now, this world is filled with people who love their sin. They love the world. They love everything that is contrary to God, and they relish in it. But the mark of a Christian, the mark of a gospel-minded Calvarian, that might be a new word, Calvarian, one who loves Calvary, one who is, your hope is in the cross. And like the Apostle Paul, you're saying today, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus. And you want to participate in this communion feast today. You want to take the cup and the bread because this is your rest and this is your delight. And your hope is in a suffering Savior and what he accomplished on that cross. But it will mean that you die to sin. That's your new attitude. That's your new aim and object. Now, as I come to this text and to this subject of putting to death our love of sin, I want you to see here the fulfillment of this prophecy. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now, I've spoken already about the Roman soldier and what happened at Calvary that day, especially when the rocks shook and God thundered. And the Roman centurion who had been in charge of the whole business of putting to death God's son. Just imagine, this is a mighty, mighty thing. That hardened Roman soldier, a Gentile, a pagan man, suddenly the revelation of what he had done struck him, that he lamented and he sorrowed. And this prophecy was directly fulfilled in the life of that Roman centurion. Now, there were others around that cross, and they were weeping too. And they understood the Savior's love, and they were graciously, wonderfully moved to sorrow, not just out of pity, but in the reality that this was Christ dying as a Savior and to pour out his life for our salvation. Now, every one of us needs a measure of that mourning. If there is not in your heart today some degree of hatred of the sin that made kneel the Lord Jesus to the cross, I would say you have no part in this communion. You don't even comprehend of what it's about. Because there is a direct relationship between your attitude to sin and to accepting the death of Christ as a sacrifice for sin, as God's remedy for sin. Now, another way in which this prophecy was fulfilled was at Pentecost, Peter's first sermon, when he preached the gospel and rehearsed to the people what they had done. They had taken this man, Jesus, and they had cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Peter pointed out that they were guilty of the blood of Jesus on their very hands. And they said, "What will we do?" They were pricked in their hearts. This troubled them. They had soul trouble when they considered Christ dying on that cross, which they had perpetrated, and they were not only lamenting their own guilt, because when Peter pointed out to them, and they said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent for the remission of sins." And this now gave them an added angle on Jesus did this for us. That's why he did not resist. That's why he went voluntarily as a lamb to the slaughter. That's why he took our place upon that tree for the remission of our sins. And so you can see the direct link between their own guilt, their own sense of we have done this. But also a link to that is what Christ has done for them in his death and in his sufferings. And repentance is a dying to sin. It is a total rejection of the way and the paths of sin. And that is the attitude of every born-again believer. Everyone that has a true saving interest in the death of Christ has this mighty impact of a mourning spirit over sin. Now, if you go to the book of Romans, chapter 6, and verse 1, you will see the worldly-minded man's question. The worldly-minded man's question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The worldly man says, well, if Christ died for our salvation, paid it all, there's no more payment for me, and it's all done, we can just keep sinning. We can enjoy all this, and there's no consequences. We can sin up and never be cast down. We can live up the world and still have God's favor. That's the worldly man's question. But you'll see the apostle's answer. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's a new attitude now. You're not even asking that question. That's ridiculous. That is something that's even repugnant to the true child of God, that someone would even suggest that I can just keep on sinning and enjoy grace, pardon, and the love of God in my soul. That is totally out of the question. And so the attitude of the Christian is that you are dead to sin. That's no longer part of your life. It's no longer what you love. And it is no longer your master. And if we took time in Romans 6, going right down this passage, 3 to verse 7, you will see that the one who is united to Christ, baptized into Jesus, baptized into his death, verse 3, buried with him in baptism, raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so when we see sin or tempted by sin, we mourn. When we're overtaken by sin, we truly mourn. A Christian is never happy when he is serving sin, but rather is seeking power and grace to be a conqueror and a victor over sin. Go down to verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Now, the cross does this. This is what happens in the heart of a believer. When you have come to Calvary for salvation and repented, you are no longer the slave of sin. You're set free. There is liberating power. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so sin is no longer your master. Oh, I know he is a tempter. I know that he's a troubler of your soul. But you are no longer the slave under the mastery of sin. You are now a servant of righteousness and of the Lord Jesus himself. Now, the question is, are you doing this? Are you enjoying this in your own life? People ask, how can I get victory over temptation? How can I be a conqueror over the world? It's at the cross. It is by gazing upon the man of Calvary, who is your suffering Savior. And it is fulfilled. This prophecy of Zechariah is fulfilled in the Roman centurion, in the Christians of the early church, and every Christian knows something that they can truly say, I hate sin. I no longer want to serve sin. I want to live godly in Christ Jesus. And there is now this mourning. And so when you come to take the cup and the bread, your attitude is that you are so thankful that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from sin. And by participating, uniting with Christ in his cross work, that you are no longer the slave of sin, but you are truly a new creature, and you seek to live in the power of a new life. Now I come to the focus of this prophecy. We've had the fulfillment of it. Now we want to look at the focus of it. The focus is Christ's wounded body, crucified and pierced. Five bleeding wounds, his hands, his feet, his side. Then, of course, that crown of thorns upon his head, the blood flowing down his face. He was a mass of sorrow and suffering on that cross. Now, the thing that impacted the men and women around the cross when the Roman soldier pierced his side, and I'm speaking specifically to the prophecy now, because they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. The thing that the New Testament points out is that out of Jesus' body flowed blood and water, the evidence that he was dead. The water that gathers around the heart was burst and flowed out. And there, that mighty statement that Christ became a Savior, a sacrifice for sin. Now that is the focus intended by the Spirit of God. It says here that the Lord will pour upon us the Spirit of grace and supplications. And what happens when you are become a Christian, when you become a believer in the death of Christ, you get a mighty heart sense that death of Christ was for you, that he truly was taking your place upon that cross. And it does something to you. It makes you to hate sin and to delight in the love, the grace that your Lord Jesus so died for you. It's amazing, and it's so personal. And whatever's going on in the person beside you or the other person that has heard the same message, you may never know. But in your own heart, there is this deep, deep work of grace. And you are highly moved, stirred, and even at some point troubled by what your sin has done. And it brings you to this mourning, the focus of a suffering Savior brings you to this mourning. Now there's another aspect to this in Zechariah 12:10, and it talks about this grace and supplications. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that is mourned. And then down at the end, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now that makes me think of the Passover. You remember how the Jews were to eat that lamb with bitter herbs. There was in that Passover lamb not only a faith that the blood of the lamb would turn away the wrath of the angel of death, but that in that there is bitterness. The gospel is never cheap. The blood of Jesus is not something that can be trivialized. It is a deep, mighty, powerful thing. And there is something that saving faith gives to the born-again believer, an instinctive grasp. There is a comprehension. And you may never have read a theology book or a catechism or a definition of this, but there is, by the Spirit of God imparted to your soul, to your heart, this deep, deep appreciation for the blood and the death of the Lord Jesus.
Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that loved, thank you.
Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I hope that what I've been saying here in this message is true in your life, that you have come to this clear view of the death of the Son of God, and it has forever deeply affected you. You can never be the same again. You can never sin the same again. You can never consider the world the same, because it was the world that nailed the Lord Jesus to the cross, and it was your own sins that caused the death of the Savior. And so there is within your heart this repentance, this grievous sorrow, this deep, deep detestation of the iniquity of your own heart and of every act that has caused the death of the Son of God. But also there is within your heart a wonderful thankfulness and appreciation of the victory that the Lord Jesus hath purchased by his blood, and the forgiveness of sins that comes to you. And of course, I want you to have that forgiveness of sins. Now, make sure you be in touch. The announcements are coming up. I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.